Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Wide awake, excited to be here. So just by way of, you know, clarification, you know, and I didn't, you know, let him know this ahead of time, but although my last name looks like it's spelled Toes, it's actually pronounced Taves. It's, yeah, just like the hockey player, yeah. So it's a good German Mennonite name, and so that's the pronunciation for it. But it's great to be able to be here with you today and to share with you about camp and what is happening. I just have to open up my iPad that doesn't want to open. Oh, there we go. Look at that. And to be able to share with you a little bit about what God is doing in camp and through camp ministry. Camp is in full swing, and there's lots happening. This afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, we'll be having a number of children coming to one of four different camps that we have going on this week. So out at Camp Nachman on the main site is our junior high camp. And so there will be roughly about 160 to 165 junior high students descending upon us. Our staff is excited. Most of our staff love working with the junior high age. They're a little bit older. They ask more challenging questions, which can be great. It can be hard for them as well. But the junior highs are coming, and we're excited about that. We also do a paintball camp. And so there will be 20 junior high boys that will be coming for paintball. And again, just doing that. Each week we do a paintball camp for about 20 to 25, usually junior high or senior high boys. And it's amazing to see how that ministry has really impacted kids as they come out, and they get to run and have fun and enjoy themselves. And we do devotionals and spend time talking with them about God and what it's like to follow Him. And it's really amazing to see how, you know, these boys that are, you know, sometimes too cool to do anything, as they go through the week, they start to open up and they start to talk about what's going on in their lives and what, you know, trying to understand more about who God is. We do a ranch camp, a horsemanship camp, and so if you know our property, we have another quarter section just close to the main site where we've built an indoor riding arena a couple of years ago and five new cabins over there. And so each week between 30 and 40, usually mostly girls, come out for the horsemanship camps. And again, it's a great opportunity to use horses to help kids connect with God and with each other and understand more about what it means to follow a God that serves them. And so that camp is going on. And then we have another location that we manage, and it's up by St. Paul. It's called Bellevue Lodge, and it's another camp up there. And that's a junior high camp as well, and there'll be about 40 to 50 junior high students up there. So it's just really exciting to be a part of this ministry each week that in the summer that God uses in amazing ways to impact the lives of, you know, hundreds of students each summer. This year, we'll have between 1,500 and 1,600 children and youth come through our camp programs. And it's amazing to see how God can use that week to make such a difference in their lives. And one of the things that I am really encouraged about is the quality of the staff that we have. And Cara, who some of you might know from this area, she's one of our staff out there this summer. And our staff is just amazing. It floors me, the passion and the excitement that they come with each week. It's hard when you're working with you know, as a counselor in a cabin. I mean, you're on all the time for, you know, from the time they get there at 4 o'clock on Sunday till the time they leave at 5 o'clock on Friday. And we try and give them a one-hour break each day when they don't have to think about anything. But other than that, even when they're sleeping, they're still on. If a kid has a nightmare, if a kid has to go to the washroom, if a kid, you know, has a stomach ache, they're on, they're up. And for these students to be willing to do this week after week, it's just encouraging to me to see. I know often we talk about, you know, in church and even in society about, you know, the younger generation and their lack of commitment and their lack of willingness to do stuff. And every time I hear this, like, you just have to come to camp to see that's not always true. There are really passionate young people who are excited about God, excited about their faith, want to make a difference, and are willing to sacrifice in order to see that happen. And that's such a joy to me to be able to be a part of that. And this morning, as I'm here, I hope to spend a little bit of time helping you as well see how you can be a part of what we're doing at camp. The camp ministry is something that in order for it to do well, we really need local churches and individuals in those churches to say, we believe in camp and we want to support camp in any way we can. And that's my hope, is that as I share with you a little bit about camp and some of the ways camp can make a difference in the lives of people, that it will inspire you and encourage you and say, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of that ministry that God is using in amazing ways. So I'd like to start with asking you to do something that, you know, some of you might be a little uncomfortable with, because it's not something we often do. But I want you to just as we start, to just close your eyes and listen to a story I want to tell you. So close your eyes and just relax. Don't fall asleep. When I tell you afterwards to wake, I'll be looking to see if anyone is still, you know. And just listen to the story. Can you feel that? The earth is shuddering. At first it seemed like it was a long way off. Now it is here. So close you can feel the electricity in the air. You see the lights flashing every direction across the horizon. You feel the grass tickling your arm. You feel what you thought was immovable earth beneath you give way to the overpowering thunder that threatens to swallow you into its depths. You feel the breeze flutter across your face like a gentle kiss, a weird paradox to the anger in the sky. You look up, searching for any warning of the assault, and all you see is chaos lightning up in the heavens. You see the light play across the face of your friend lying next to you, a mixture of fear and amazement running through their eyes. Your friends that couldn't stop talking a few moments ago in the cabin are lost and speechless. Everyone's tongues have been tamed by the power on the display around you. The storm's grandeur silencing every word. You succumb, giving in to every strike and every rumble, breathing in the incredible majesty and the awesome display of the power you see before you. You can open your eyes. That was me. Way back in the mid-1970s when I was a junior high student at Bear Lake Bible Camp. It's interesting, as I think about that, the impact that that storm and just watching the awesome display of God's power had on me. Because I grew up in a small town. I grew up on a farm. Hunting and fishing and being a part of nature and creation was part of what I experienced all the time. And knowing God was also a part of what I was experienced my whole life. I went to church, I understood who he was, and yet there was something about that moment in time when just this awesomeness of God's power and creation just impacted me in a deep and profound way. And that is what I believe is part of the impact that camp can have on kids today. It takes things that they may already know. They may already know about God's love. They may already know so many things. And it just takes that, and in that time, in that week away, it makes it something that changes their hearts and changes their lives. See, at camp, we just don't focus on telling kids about God. We try and create experiences so they can really feel and understand and know this amazing God that loves them as their father. That's what we want to do. We want to create space for them to understand this God of the universe, this God that created all this awesomeness, is also our God that loves them so deeply and wants them to be his children. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, we read, "See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children." And that is our goal. Because I truly believe that in the world that we are in here in Canada today, children need to know about God as their father in a way that radically changes them. And I think there's a number of reasons for this. One of the reasons that I believe it's so important for children to be able to experience camp and that time away is, in some ways, we've lost our connection with creation. I was talking to a children's pastor just this last week, and she talked about the fact that statistics show that on average now, a 10-year-old spends 6 hours on screen time, whether that's on their computer or on their phone or on their iPad, 6 hours a day. I've read this book called The Last Child in the Woods. And in this book, the author makes the argument that he believes part of the rising surge we see in things like, attention deficit and some of these challenges that children have is simply because we don't allow space for them to play and connect with creation. That we're so busy having this regimented schedule for them and things they have to do that they never get time to sit back and just play. They never get time to sit back and just enjoy this creation that is around them. In the book of Psalms 19, it talks a little bit about the impact and just the majesty of creation. Psalms 19 reads, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world." And that is part of what we want to create at camp, is this space for kids to connect with creation. And when you think about it, I think the impact that creation and connecting with creation can have on us is so profound. And it can change us in so many different ways. Recently, at one of our staff meetings, I talked with this about our staff. As a camp, we've sort of come up with what we believe is the mission that God has given to us. And we've tried to encapsulate that. And one of the things that we say in that is we want to help people experience creation. Think about it for a moment. And think about, as you experience creation, even apart from the impact that it has on you and your understanding of who God is, how else does experience creation change us? How does our experience with thunderstorms, our experience with seeing the beauty of a lake, of seeing flowers, of seeing animals that we can connect with and that we can learn from. How does that change us? I think it does a number of things for us. I think one of the things that understanding creation does for us is it increases our respect for others around us. Because when we learn to respect creation, as God has said he's created it, and we learn to respect that, we see the value in it. We see the importance of it. And as we see the value in it, it enables us to respect that. As you look at some of the conflicts that we have in the world, and we see how children are being impacted by them, I think so much of it comes from the fact that we just don't respect and value other people. We don't see them as important. We don't see them as significant. We don't see them as mattering. And I really do believe that as we connect with creation, as we're able to work with a horse and see the power of a horse and learn to ride it and keep that under power, that within us there's this respect that we aren't the biggest thing in the world, that we aren't the greatest thing in the universe. When you lie out at night and you see the stars and just see the multitude of stars, it is amazing being at camp away from the lights of the city, how clear and bright they can be. And when you see that the awesomeness out there, it's like, I'm pretty small compared to the awesomeness of all that God has created. And as we realize that, I think in a healthy way, it does teach us to respect others, because we see them as valuable. If we see that we're valuable because God loves us in the midst of all of this amazingness, it encourages us to respect and value others around us. Another thing that nature, that creation teaches us, is the value of life and the certainty of death. And I really do think that's important for children to begin to learn. It's important for them, you know, as they're there and they can see, you know, quite often at the ranch we'll have, you know, they'll have little dogs or little cats or pups running around, and you see the beginning of life and you see the newness of life, and it's wonderful. But you also, you know, through creation, and whether it's a camp, whether it's through you know, just being out there, you see that life does not go on forever. And that's really important to know. If we don't understand, if we don't begin to understand at a young age that life isn't forever on this earth, we treat it as unimportant. We treat it as something that we can do whatever we want with. When we begin to understand that life has a beginning, but it also, in this earth, has an end, it impacts how we make decisions. It impacts what we do with information that we hear. It impacts how we respond to this idea that there's a God wants to be our Father and wants to be with us eternally. It's important for us to understand the value of life and the certainty of death, which creation helps us understand. I think it also teaches us patience. When you look at creation and begin to understand that the natural world, you realize that it takes time. For those of you that are farmers here, you have to be patient if you're a farmer, because it's not like you can put the seed in the ground and a week later you can, you know, bring in the crop and get all the money that you want. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, it really does. When we connect with creation and understand creation, it really does help us to develop a sense of patience in life, that it's not automatic. It's not like you can go to the fast food store every day and get what you want. It helps us understand that life takes time. And that's a good thing. And I think it also teaches us creativity. when we look at the world around us and all that God has created and all the different things that are out there, it helps us see that God is a creative God and we, made in His image, are creative people. My wife has recently really gotten more into planting her own flowers and doing more stuff around our acreage. And so something that she started to do the last couple of years is to start from seeds, you know, not all because she doesn't have quite that much time, but a number of the flowers that she's going to plant later on. And, you know, in February when she starts them, you know, they grow and they're all about this big and green. And they all look exactly the same. It's like, she's busy picking them out and making sure the strongest one survives and doing all the stuff that she really enjoys. And it seems, you know, like there's not much difference between any of them. But if you walk around our house today, it's amazing to see the variety in the colors that are there, the shapes of them, the size of them. I mean, it's really very beautiful, all the different flowers that we have. And part of that to me shows the creativeness of God in just creating in this beauty that's around us. I think it's so important that young people, that children, have that opportunity to connect with creation. Because as we know, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many things that take that away from us. And whether that's TV, our iPhones, our iPads, our video games, everything is pulling us away from that connection with creation. And as we see in Scripture time and time again, creation is meant to draw us to God. And that is a big part of what we're able to do at camp as kids are out there. I think a second challenge that children and young people face today is the fact that it's so important that they have older people in their life that can model for them and that they can be mentored by in their spiritual journey. Years ago, as a youth pastor, I came across a study that was done in Australia that talked about, that was looking at why so many kids that grew up in the church were leaving the church. And so they tried to see what was the common denominator between those that stayed, that those continued on in church as they went through their adult life. And they found that some of them had great parents and some of them didn't have the greatest home life. Some of them had an amazing youth group. Some of them had basically no youth group. Some of them had great friends, Christian friends as teenagers. Some of them didn't really have any Christian friends as teenagers. But the one common factor that they found in almost all of them was the fact that they had an older Christian mentor that walked beside them and encouraged them. That factor was one of the biggest factors in helping them remain committed to Christ as they went through the years of 17 to 22. And I think about that, and I think about what camp does, and I think, you know, I really believe that that's one of the things that camp can do in the lives of children and young people as they come. Our second part of our mission statement says we want to be a place that helps people to enhance relationships. And when we look a little bit further in 1 John chapter 3, he starts off talking about, you know, we understand that we're children of God and God is our Father. But then he talks about the fact that the thing that defines us as Christians, the things that should really help people to show that we're followers of God, is the love that we have for one another. And when we truly love one another, when we're truly in this relationship with one another that demonstrates love and acceptance and encouragement and helps people move on, that is the defining part of what it means to be a follower of God. That's what the world should see. I enjoy history and reading about church history and some of the things that happened, in the past 2,000 years. And it's interesting when you think about the development of Christianity and just think about how it grew. When Christ left, there was just a pretty small pocket of believers in Christ in this remote part of the Roman Empire. And it was pretty small and pretty, you know, most people just dismissed it. And 300 years later, it had spread and impacted all of the Roman Empire at that time, all of the known world at that time. It had grown that much. And there's been lots of studies done into why that. And one of the things that it talks about was the early Christians, especially in their first, 100 years when they were just getting established, were known for their love for others. So when the plagues would come and people would be dying in the cities because of all the different things and the sanitation and all those things, rather than leaving the city like most people did, the Christians stayed and helped the sick and tried to tend for those that were dying. In the Roman Empire, they didn't have abortion like we have today. Their form of abortion was to leave the babies just on the side of the road after they were born. And the Christians didn't try and change the government, didn't try to change that. They went out and rescued the babies. And they raised them, and they created orphanages and homes and places for them to be a part of. They lived a life of love for others. They developed that relationship with others that showed them that they loved them and they cared for them. And that is so important that children understand that. It's important that they understand it from parents, but it's important that they can understand that from others as well, other older Christians. Because not only is the impact that a kind word or a loving word have on us is great, the opposite is also true. I want you to think with me for a moment back to when you were in elementary school or younger. And think if you can remember any negative or harsh comment that was made to you. For most of us, it doesn't take that long to think of something because it's there. I remember, for me, it was, I was 5 years old and just starting to play hockey. And, growing up in small town Alberta, everyone played hockey and loved hockey. And it was a small rink, and there was just, we're just learning. And I remember getting the puck along the side of the board and looking ahead, and there was somebody bigger in front of me. So rather than trying to go through them, I turned the opposite way to go, try and get space so I could go around them. But as I was going the other way, I heard somebody from the crowd sort of laughing and say, "Oh, look at that kid. He doesn't even know which end his net is." And I'm like, even at that time, I was like, I know what end my net is. I'm just doing this. But it was this comment, and it just stuck in my brain. It's like, this kid doesn't know what he's doing. What's wrong with him? And we all have those in our lives, those words that can have that negative impact. But the opposite is also true. We have those people that speak at just the right moment a word of encouragement, that they tell us, you're really good at that. Or it's amazing that you're able to do that. To tell a child, what, your piano playing is amazing. And just the impact that has on them. There's so many little ways that we can have that positive impact on children and youth. And the counselors at camp, I believe, are amazing at doing that. I watch them play with these kids, and some of the kids, when you have eight or nine children in your cabin, there's going to be some that are great and easy to get along with and easy to spend time with, but not all of them. This week, one of our counselors had a girl that had, needed a lot of attention and always wanted to be around, and she was finding it hard to say, how do I spend time with this one girl that wants all of my attention and still spend time with the rest of my cabin. And there's no easy answer. But she struggled through that and said, you know, I really want to make a difference in this girl's life, but also in the life of the rest of the girls in the cabin. And she was able to do that in a variety of different ways. Camp is an amazing place for children to be affirmed in their love of God, to be affirmed in who they are as people. And it's so important that we give them the opportunity to do that. Each summer, we have about 500 children that come to camp that don't regularly go to church. So now, how big is the school? How many kids go to the Mirror Lake School? Do you guys know, roughly? Yeah. So think about that. Every summer, if there's 400, 450, that many children that have never heard about God come and spend a week at camp. Think about what would happen if even a third of the school of kids that didn't regularly come to camp, if a third of them were able to spend a week every summer at camp. Think about the impact that would have on that school. The impact that it would have on their families. The impact that it would have on this community. The impact down the road that it potentially could have on Alberta and on Canada. At camp, we have this privilege of inviting people that and children whose parents would be reluctant to send them to church, and they enjoy sending them to camp. One of the girls that's on our leadership team this summer grew up in a family situation like that, where her parents did not want her going to church. In fact, told her that she was not allowed to go to church. But every summer, she came to camp. And the connection that she made there and the relationships that she built, she's now a wonderful Christian woman. She's just recently married. Her and her husband are both working at camp this summer. And it's amazing to see how God has used camp to be that place that just provided that support for her to grow in her relationship with God over the years. And that's what we want to do. The challenge for us is we can't do it on our own. That we need your help in order for us to do what we believe God has called us to do to impact the lives of children and youth. And there's three very specific ways that we need your help. First and most important, we need your prayer support. And I know some of you pray for us each week. Ruth is a friend of my sister Dawn, and so they get together each week and pray for us at camp, and that's very significant and important to us. But we need people that are able to pray for camp. And I would really encourage you, you know, I mean, sometimes it's hard to remember long term, but even short term, if you can remember us this week with junior high is an age where a lot of young people are going through some pretty significant things. And a lot of them are willing to open up about challenges that they have at home, with family, with friends, some of the hurtful situations that they have been through. And it is hard on our staff. It is hard on our staff to be able to invest that whole week and not feel worn out. Because we need to remember that it's not just camp and sort of that good time that we're talking about. There truly is a spiritual battle for the lives of our children and our young people. In his book, Too Small to Ignore, Dr. Wes Stafford, who for many years was the CEO of Compassion International, talks about the battle that's going on for the lives of our children and the importance of recognizing that it truly is a spiritual battle. That when you look at statistics, we know that most people accept Christ before the age of 21. And we know that, but I truly believe the enemy knows that as well. that Satan knows the fact as well, that if he can get children in a situation where they're not able to or not willing to hear about a God that loves them, that he will be successful. And in order to battle against this spiritual warfare that's going on, we need your support. We need people who are able to say, we will uphold camp. We will uphold the speakers at camp. We will uphold the counselors and the staff. And we will pray that God will work in amazing ways. And so that's part of what I'm asking you to do. And like I said, sometimes it's hard to think about the whole summer, but for each of you, if you can say, you know what, this week I will remember to pray on a regular basis for Camp Nachman and their junior high camps that are going on at all their different locations, and ask that God would work in amazing ways and that there would be spiritual protection and that the spiritual battle would be won through Jesus Christ. We need your help. We also need your help with people that are able to come out and volunteer and be a part of what we're doing. As the camp has grown, we have not done a good job in helping people recognize the volunteer opportunities that are out there, and that's something that we are trying to change. We want people that are able to come out and just help out and work behind the scenes, and whether that's in the kitchen or whether that's in maintenance, there's so many different ways. Earlier this spring, a retired couple came out for 2 weeks and basically spent time painting and cleaning up some of the flower beds around camp. And it was great. They were blessed by it, and we were blessed by having them there. So we need people that are able to volunteer. If you're younger, if you're still in high school and junior high, we have a program for people to come out and regularly be a part of camp and the ministry there. So we need people that are willing to come out and connect with camp and volunteer at camp. And we also need your financial support. We can't do it without the support of churches and individuals across this part of Alberta. Each week, the average cost for a child to attend camp that we charge is about between $375 and $425, depending on the week. The actual cost for them to us, when we look at all the things that we have to do throughout the year to get ready and all of those things, is closer to $550 to $600 per camper. So there's a gap in there of $150 to $200 between what we charge and what it actually costs us as a missions organization to accomplish what God has called us to do. And that's where we need people that are willing to say, you know what, I can help out. I can make a commitment, and whether that's a small one of, you know, $20 and you're able to do that. There's one lady that each month, as long as I've been there at camp, which is 14 years now, she sends a $10 check to camp. And it's somebody that has been, I think she's been doing it for years before that, and each month it just comes in. If we had 1,000 people that were giving $10 a month, it would make a huge difference in what we're able to do as far as providing staff, providing programming, providing the place for kids to connect with God. So it doesn't have to be huge. Now, there are some people that are able to give significant gifts, and we wouldn't say no to that. But more than the big thing, we're looking for a lot of people that are able just to give a little bit each month that will make a difference in the ministry that God has called us to do. So that's camp. That's part of what I am excited to be a part of, and what I'm passionate about. It's a place where children and young people can come and be changed in that week. And so I want to close by praying together, and then the worship team is going to come and sing. I believe one of the songs they're going to sing is Good, Good Father. And to me, that's one of my favorite songs, because it just reminds us of the fact that we have this amazing God that loves us and connects with us and wants to be our Father. And there are so many children out there and so many young people out there that need to know they have this good, good Father that loves them and cares for them. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for camp. And I thank you for the way that you have used camp to impact the lives of so many people. I thank you that you enable us to be a part of that amazing work that you are doing. And so I pray that you would just encourage each one of us to see how we can be a part of that, how we can be a part of what you are doing. And I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. I pray for this coming up week at camp, and I pray that as the youth come and as the staff come, that you would just empower the staff and that you would allow the youth to hear from you and be touched by you. We thank you that you are a good, good Father and that you love us. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.